Thank you for joining us on Commission Radio. Thank you for joining us on Commission Radio. I'm Minister Bowen, and we are presenting part two of the Spiritually Fat Church, the Lethargic, the Listless, and if we don't watch out, the Lifeless Church. If you would like to reach me, my email address is Lecora Bowen, LECORABOWEN, at AOL.com. Now, we left off the last time talking about what we should preach. So today I want to start on why. Why should we preach? Why should we preach? Now, God says that if we love him, we should keep his commandments. Now, he has given us specific instructions in Matthew 28:19 to perform the commission. So the question is, do we love him? That's the question. In 1 John 3:17, we're told, but whosoever hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up the bowels of his compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Now, I don't know about you, but the only thing in this world that is good has to come from God. And the thing that comes from him is salvation. Now, we got a lot of other stuff that comes from him, but those things are going to, you know, they're going to burn up like, you know, chaff. Those are not eternal things. The only thing that is eternal that comes from God that we could have on this side of heaven is salvation. So are we going to shut up our bowels of compassion on those at this point who do not love Christ, who have yet to receive him? But like I said, the only thing that is good in this world is what Jesus brought on the cross to us through his precious blood sacrifice. Everyone that has been born again has this world's good. Will we share it with a sin-sick generation, a generation whose eyes have been blinded by Satan? And the thing about it is, when your eyes are blinded by Satan, you think you see. You think you're okay. You know, everything that comes up that your soul, you know, that soulish part of us want, we think it's okay, because guess what? We're serving the wrong God, that small g God, Satan, the God of this world. There are two gods, Holy Father, and then there's a small g God, Satan, because of the sin of Adam. But a lot of us in the church, we're serving the small g, thinking we're serving the big G. And that's a big problem. And I'm going to say this, and I know I'm going to be persecuted really, really bad, but God is not as concerned about your creature comfort right now as he is about souls being saved. Now, if you can get a soul saved as poor as you can be, guess what? That's a good day. He's not as concerned about our creature comfort. Jesus was not concerned about his creature comfort. It wasn't comfortable for him to be nailed on a cross with spikes. Have you seen those spikes? Have you ever seen pictures of those spikes that went through the most delicate part of your body where the nerves are intensified? The Romans knew how to make death as painful as it possibly could be. So Jesus was not comfortable on that cross. So why should we, on this side of the earth, think we have to be robber baron rich to be happy? Now, we all like stuff. We all do. But in the church, it is up to us to fulfill the commission of Jesus Christ, who died for us. That is our commission. Now, this generation, eyes have been blinded. It's blind. They're blind. They don't see. They don't understand what is happening right now. They don't understand that we're in the end time dynamics right now. If you look in Matthew 24, it talks about when you start seeing the fig tree blossom, that the things in Matthew 24 will not this generation that is alive at that time would not pass away before these end time dynamics began to happen. Well, Israel, which is symbolic of the fig tree, became a state again in 1948. And then if you look at a generation in Psalms 90:10, a generation is 70 or 80 years. And like I said last time, if my math is correct, that's somewhere between 2018 and 2028. Now, it could be later than that. But it gives us a time frame to start looking and start preparing, right? I don't know whether that was a Jewish calendar or the Roman calendar. All of that stuff doesn't matter. Let's just say that somebody alive today could see Jesus coming back through the cloud. Okay? So let's don't get caught up on that. Now, if you are not willing to share the world's good, the love of God does not dwell in you. That's what the scripture says. And you have become spiritually fat and lethargic. Now, I thank God for those of you who are not content with being spiritually fat. I know one day I was talking to my repairman, who was a Jehovah's Witness, and he asked me, what do I call God? I asked him, when are you talking about? He looked at me sort of strangely, and he went on to say again, what do you call God? I said, sometimes I call him Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Makedesh, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Rapha, or just God, help. He said, you know, if you don't call God Jehovah, you won't go to heaven. And the Holy Spirit began to quicken me at that point. And I knew that he had a little girl, approximately 8 or 9 years old. So I asked him, Cecil, what would you do if your little girl was in another room and she called you by your first name, Cecil? He said, I would ask her, what did she want? Then I asked him, I said, Cecil, what if your little girl was in another room and she called out Daddy? And he said, I would respond to her, what do you mean? I said, Cecil, what if your little girl was in another room and she called out in agony and distress? What would you do? He said, I'd run to her. Then I asked him, I said, what makes you think that you're better than God? What makes you think you're better than God? And I hadn't seen him in a long time, but I want you to know something. We need to start evangelizing more aggressively than the Jehovah's Witness. We need to start evangelizing much more aggressively than the Jehovah's Witnesses. Now, because they do a good job on a Saturday morning, I would love to hear a Jehovah's Witness say, I get tired of those Christians coming every Saturday morning talking about God. I would love to hear that. That would give me a lot of assurance that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing on a Saturday morning. But let's go and spread the word of God so that the light can shine on not only the whole Jehovah's Witness deception, and I thank God for their work, so they're doing good, but also for those who are not yet in the kingdom of God and those who have fallen into the greedy mentality. Greed is not going to heaven. And we need to be bold about sharing that. Greed is not going to heaven. That's a sin. It's a sin to be greedy, right? So that's not going to go to heaven. Now, God wants to hear some bones rattling in the valley of dry bones. In Ezekiel 37, God uses a metaphor of dry bones to express the state of sinful man. In verse 2, he says that there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Now, there's something interesting about a valley in that it has openings on at both ends. Those lost souls are in the open valley. There is nothing keeping them from entering or leaving their circumstances or situation but a lack of understanding as to where they are. And that's where we come in at, if we want to follow Jesus. God wants to hear some noise, and behold, a shaking and bones coming together, bone to his bone, in the lives of those who have been blinded by Satan. Now, Satan has them believing that they cannot leave this valley at will. That's a lot of people in their sins. They don't believe that they can forsake those sins. They're so tied up and bound up in those things. He has them deceived, so deceived that they see a tall wall of containment around their circumstances and situations. I'm here to tell you that all they need is a word from God. Will you be that messenger? If we operate in a spirit of obedience as Ezekiel and prophesy over these dry bones on our jobs, family, churches, or wherever we find them, there will also be a noise, and behold, a shaking and bones coming together, bone to his bone. And then behold, we'll see a great army. God wants to do a mighty work in the lives of the unsaved. Will you be flexible so that he can use you as an instrument to bring forth these mighty works? Now, we are the Laodicean church age. We are the Laodicean church age. If you'll go with me to Revelations 3, verses 14. Well, let's start at 13, because he said that he that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And he says in verse 14, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, he says here, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Does that sound like we're going to heaven if that's us? And I'm preaching to myself as well. But does that sound like we're going to heaven if he spews us out of his mouth? And this is the reason. He says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing. Now, how many of us have been chanting that in church? How many of us? Think about it now. Think about it. Then it says, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. We can be sitting in church right now, chanting this, not following the will of God. But God is saying that there are some things that he has against us, right? Then he says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in fire, that thou mayest be rich. That's the richness that God has promised us. When we're tried in fire, that we can be used by him to do what he wants to. Then he said, in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. See, it's going to be a sad thing when we have all these worlds, the world's goods down here, and we have to stand before a holy God, and we are in the end time. I don't know exactly when it is, but God did give us an indicator in Matthew 24, and look at Psalms 90:10. To have all these world goods and then end up standing before God completely naked. Then he says, anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou might see. Church, we need to anoint our eyes with eye salve right now so that we can see the time and what is at the heart of God. What is his heart right now? He says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be jealous, therefore, and repent. God is rebuking some of you. And I know that I'm not a what you call a big tele-evangelist ministry or something like that. But this is rebuke to the church. He says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, he says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Church, it's time to overcome, as he says in 21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He who have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. That's what God is saying unto the church right now. The greedy, the listless, the lifeless church. The end time church that is supposed to herald in the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the most important thing to most churches that I have seen, not all of them, there are some jewels in God's hands who are doing the work that God has called them to do. But you don't see them mostly on TV and all of that stuff because they're working silently for the Lord. They're going in visiting the sick, you know. They're going to the hospital to minister to people in their church. They're doing all the things that, you know, that a heart of God would want you to do. You don't get to see them. But this greedy money cometh church, God is talking to you in the book of Laodicea. He's talking to you in Revelation 3:14 and calling you the church of the Laodiceans. And he doesn't have anything to commend about that church, as you can see. Not a thing to commend about that church. And he is at the door knocking right now. He's at the door. He's at the door. In Matthew 9:37, it says here, we're going to talk about what if we fail to perform the commission. I'm going to have to hurry up because I only have 13 minutes left. I'm going to do this real quick, y'all. In Matthew 9:37, the word of the Lord says, the harvest truly is plenteous. This is what God is interested in right now. But the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now, the job that has been placed before us is a big one. We need every joint of the body fulfilling its godly purpose to bring the torch across the finish line. In Matthew 25:31-41, we see that when the Son of Man shall come into his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on his left hand. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you in the presence of my enemies. And then he goes on and say, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting darkness, prepared for the devil and his angels. Because when you look back on it, he said, when all these other things that we just talked about that this first group did, he said, you didn't do any of those things. Now, we all know someone who is up to their necks in sin right now. They hunger and thirst for a way out, but they keep looking in all the wrong places. Offer them the meat and drink that they hunger and thirst no more in the word of God. Offer them Jesus. Have you not met a stranger to the house of God lately? Did you take them in? Have you not seen someone naked in their sins? Did you clothe them in righteousness found in the word of God? Have you seen someone sick? I don't know about you, but before I got saved, the biggest sickness was in my life was the fact that I was unsaved. I was sick of myself. Now when I look at myself, I see a little more of Jesus every day. That makes me precious not only in my sight, but in the eyesight of God. Have you ministered to the sick? Have you gone unto them? There is no imprisonment that is more confining than to be imprisoned in sin. Have you visited the imprisoned? Have you gone out into the highways and byways to share Jesus with them? Now, God does not mean this to be a grievous matter. In fact, in Matthew 11:28, he invites us to come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus has made provisions for you to perform the commission sweatlessly, praise God. You just show up and God will show out. However, if you find yourself tired and feeling faint, do not care, for God giveth power to the faint, he says in Isaiah 40:29. When we are weak, he is made strong, we're told in 2 Corinthians 13:9. It is time for us to arise and shine, church, for our light has come and the glory of the Lord has arisen upon us. For behold, God. I can stop right there. Just behold God. Behold darkness has covered the earth and gross darkness to people. But the Lord has arisen upon us and his glory shall be seen upon us. I should say arisen upon us and his glory shall be seen upon us. I don't know where you are right now. I really don't know. I would presume that some of you are already born again, but there are a lot of people out there who are not. And I would ask you, if you are born again, if you know somebody that this might help, that you share it with them. But if you're out there right now and you don't know Jesus, if you have never asked the Father to forgive you of your sins and ask Jesus to come into your life and save you, now is the time for salvation, because we were all born into this world as sinners because of the sin of Adam, who disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden. His sin thrust man, all humanity, into a life of sin and death, because sin follows the bloodline. However, God, who is wonderfully faithful, created a plan of redemption before he created Adam, because he knew the end from the beginning. A plan of redemption with his only begotten son, Jesus, as his cornerstone. Now, Jesus was beaten savagely with a cat of nine tails, ripping the flesh off his body, profusely bleeding. Then they made him carry his own cross to Golgotha, where they nailed him to that rugged cross with spikes in his feet and in his outstretched hands. Now, those hands are still outstretched for you to receive him today. They then pierced him in the side so that we can now crawl into the wounded side of Jesus when we need a rest. Then that cross was lowered into the ground between two thieves. Now, one of them, realizing that a just man was being crucified, asked Jesus to remember him when he came into his kingdom. Jesus' response was, "Today, you'll be with me in paradise." That thief made his reservation for heaven on a cross. And you can make yours today, right now. You say, "I don't believe it." If you believe in George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, President Kennedy, and our current President Trump, there is more evidence for Jesus than any of them. The Romans who crucified him kept a record of it. Tacitus stated that Jesus was executed by Pilate around A.D. 26-36. Pliny the Younger While governor of Northern Turkey, AD 1437, indicates that Christians worship Christ as God, as well as other references. The Jews account through Josephus in AD 37 to 100 says, now there was about this time Jesus, a wise man, if it be lawful to call him a man, for he was a doer of wonderful works, a teacher of such men as received the truth with pleasure. He drew over unto him both many of the Jews and many of the Gentiles. He was the Christ. And when Pilate, at the suggestion of the principal men among us, had condemned him to the cross, those who loved him at first did not forsake him, for he appeared to them alive again on the third day, as the divine prophet had foretold. These and 10,000 other wonderful things concerning him was foretold. Now, Jesus gave his life so that you can be free today. You can say, my sins are too great. I know some of us felt so bad that we thought that God couldn't forgive us. But I want you to know something. Jeffrey Dahmer, who ate eight people, that's eight, A-T-E, eight people, but gave his life to Jesus while in prison. And I'm assured of his salvation, but while he was in prison, for eating eight people, those in prison were so incensed about what he did, they murdered him. But I'm assured that Jeffrey is in the arms of Jesus right now, because Jesus' blood is sufficient, even if he had eaten, and I thank God he didn't, thousands of people. Now, if you're out there right now and you haven't given your life to God, now is the time for salvation. The next second is not promised to any man. If you can do so right now, I want you to raise up your hand safely, if you can raise up your hand safely. But before I do so, I want to bind up the powers, the rulers of darkness, the principalities, the spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies that come against the reception of this message of salvation right now in the name of Jesus. So raise up your hand, lift up your hands. If you can't lift up your hand because you're driving, lift up your heart and repeat after me. Father, I was born into this world as a sinner because of the sin of Adam. I repent of my sins of omission, my sins of commission, my sins of thoughts and deeds. I believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for my sins. And I believe in my heart that you raised Jesus from the dead. So, Father, I thank you for coming into my life now and saving me. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for everyone who has prayed that. Now, if you have prayed that prayer, heaven is rejoicing over you at this moment. This is the most important decision that anyone can ever make. Welcome to the family of the Most High God. Now find a church that teaches the word of God, the full counsel of God from Genesis to Revelation. If they are more concerned about your physical condition now than they are about your spiritual condition, wipe the dust off your feet and find a real church. Father, I thank you. I thank you for these new people that are coming into the Christ. And those of you who hear this message, I would appreciate it if you would share it so that we can go and bring in this end time harvest. Use it however you want to, but we need to get this end time harvest in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that you bless your people right now, Lord God. Give them a spirit of a willingness, Lord. Give them a willingness spirit and a willing heart, Lord God, to go out and start reaping this lost world, Lord God, that we see now. We have people legislating sin, Lord God, at a level that is really disturbing, Lord God. Father God, let us go out and reach these people, Lord God. It would be a shame if we allow, as a church, the church of the living God, these people to die in their sins just because they want to legislate them, Lord God. Let us go out and be soul winners, Lord God, true bone-picking soul winners, Lord God, robbing spiritual graves for you, Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord God. We love you, Lord God. We praise you, Lord God. There's none like you in the heavens. There's none like you on earth. There's none like you beneath the earth, Lord God, and there never will be. You alone are exalted, Lord. You alone deserve all of our praise. All of the glory belongs to you, Lord God. Let none of us who stand in ministry try to receive anything that belongs to you, Lord God. Our job is to lift up all glory, praise, and honor to you, Lord. So, Father God, we praise you, we magnify you, we exalt you, and we lift you up.